Scott, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Book of Colossians, chapter 3. It's right after Colossians 2. And so we're going to talk about the risen church and the living church, or the risen living church. Mix those two together. Amen. And the church is made up of people that have been born again of God's Spirit and are alive spiritually. Praise God. Because we're dead spiritually until we're born again and saved by the blood of Jesus. We may be alive physically, but dead spiritually. But when Jesus comes in, there's a new life that's entered there. You've been given the gift of eternal life. Amen. Your physical life will die one day, but your spirit man will never die if you're a child of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's notice the scriptures. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love today. Thank you, Lord, for your holy presence that's here in this place. Now, Lord, I ask for your anointing to rest upon your servant. God, we come against anything that would hinder the ministry of your word today. Your name be glorified as we break the bread of life together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The risen and the living church. Amen. One fellow said one time, he went to a dead church, and I asked him, I said, why seek ye the living among the dead? No. But Christ's church is alive. It's because it's alive because Christ is here. Amen. And as the church is built upon the living Christ, a resurrected, exalted Christ today. And the church is built with people who have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. People that have been birthed, born of God's Spirit. Amen. And Jesus was talking to Nicodemus one day, and Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is a spirit. And Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he began to get revelation on what it meant to be birthed spiritually. Praise the Lord. And so we can be born again. We can know that we're alive and living for God today. But we live in a threatening society. We know that. Where terrorist groups steal, kill, and destroy, and yet call it peaceful. And, you know, there's a Bible prophesies. You know, Isaiah the prophet said there'll be a time when they call good evil and evil good. And our freedoms are threatened today. Earthly peace may be threatened. And the society we are used to may be threatened. But the God we serve isn't threatened at all. Nor his people, nor his church. Amen. I believe we can stand on the word of God and the scriptures that it gives us. Amen. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's Psalms 91. It keeps going. Amen. But God, we can lean upon God. We are covered and protected by God. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to good people, but it does mean eternal things are far superior to earthly things, and we can build our life upon who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. And let's look at the scriptures now that, first of all, I believe we're given the admonition here to seek eternal things. Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And you and I, the church, are a raised people. resurrected people. Amen. We may have been dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins, living according to the course of this world and headed for eternal destruction, eternal separation from God. But if you've invited Christ in your heart, you know Him as your Savior, you made the choice to follow Him, make Him Lord of your life, my friend, you're walking with Him and you're raised with Christ. Praise God. And so we're to seek those things which are above, not those things which are on the earth or below. Okay? And we seek things above, that means don't put all your effort for the temporary, but for the eternal, where our Savior is seated with power by the Father's right hand. When Jesus rose again from the dead, He ascended shortly there back into heaven, and He was seated at the Father's right hand in a position of power and authority, and a place also to forgive sins, amen, and to be the great mediator between God and man. Amen. He is today the high priest who's ever concerned and can sympathize with our weaknesses. And so He's seated at the Father's right hand. And so He's the one mediator between God and man. And to seek eternal things, that does not mean that we neglect the temporary or natural things such as work. A lot of people think it means that. It doesn't. We don't neglect work. We don't neglect providing for our families. But God has chosen us to be a Christian influence in the society that we live in. And because we seek eternal things, that does not mean that we don't enjoy life down here with family and friends and acquaintances. And I refer to some personal illustrations a lot of times. Man, because I've been on this planet for 62 years, almost 63, so I have a few memories, if my mind's good. But my family and I worked on the farm together, and it was nothing unusual. Matter of fact, it was very common for us to get our hose, not water hose, kind you hoe weeds with. Okay. Go out into the field, and we enjoyed working together, and we would cut out weeds out of the peanut crop or the watermelon crop that didn't need to be there, and we worked together as a family, but we enjoyed being together. We enjoyed talking together and laughing together and singing together. And sometimes we'd talk about church people together, more than sometimes. Yeah, we'd laugh a lot thinking about the funny things that people do at church. Man. And go on, Ken. Okay. But eventually, talk and conversation moves to the eternal, and we would be talking, working out in the field, and we would... After a while, we begin to get on heaven and the things of God. And after a while, conversation moved from the natural things to the eternal things. And that's good. But we're told here in the Scripture here to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the God. We're a people that are headed for a different world, for a different place. Amen. We're headed for heaven, and God's preparing a place for us. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to tell you, friend, this is just the beginning place. We're headed for Canaan's land, for a place that's greater and more powerful and more beautiful than we could ever imagine in the human mind. Hallelujah. And seek for the eternal things. Praise God. The greatest thing in heaven won't be streets of gold or gates of pearl or what kind of mansion you got. The greatest thing will be the presence of Jesus right there. We'll look upon Him who died, rose again from the dead, so that we might have eternal life with Him. Praise the Lord. In church, we have an eternal home, and we have an eternal hope. And that's all because of the grace of God. Amen. In the book of Titus, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That means that Jesus came and appeared to humanity. God came down and became humanity for us. And it says that grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. We have a wonderful eternity ahead of us, friend. Praise God. And you can have a wonderful right now because Jesus lives and knows that And we know that everything the world comes up with is not the answer here, but God is the answer. Christ is the answer. God's not going to leave us alone. God's going to take us to be with Him forever. Praise the Lord. So it says, seek eternal things. Second of all, it says here to set your mind above. Set your mind on things above. And to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That means full concentration. That doesn't mean that you don't pay any attention to what you're doing. You might run into somebody, or they might run into you. But to set your mind, have a fixed mind on where you're going, who you're serving, and what your purpose in life is. And the thoughts should be occupied with about things where Christ now dwells, where our final home is to be, and where our great interests are. Amen. And we think about the human mind. Amen. This gray thing between your ears. You know, heard from somebody say, you know, that everything he said just goes through one ear and out the other. Well, if you got something in between those ears, it might help you. Okay. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. People of this world talk about what is on their mind most of the time. And I'm not saying all these things are sinful, but what people want to build, what they want to buy, and some evil things they want to do. And that is called the carnal mind, the evil part. Let me give you an example of this. People talk about what they want to do one time. Where I was working one time, it came and it wasn't at a church. You'll be glad it wasn't when you hear what I'm going to say. The subject of marriage came up, you know, and carnal people. And one fellow said, the first time I married for looks. He said, the second time I married for love. He said, but the third time I'm going to marry for money. That's what you would call a carnal mind. Man. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, he gives a sad story there. He says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now, telling you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You don't want to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. Amen. But before a person is saved, they're considered enemies of God because they're promoting what is evil and no good and not right and not holy and not pure. They may not have any, they may say, I don't have anything against Christ, but if you're not walking with Christ, you're the enemy of the cross of Christ. And it says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. My friend, God wants us to have a mind that's set upon Him. I've made the decision. I've made the choice. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do His will. When I fail, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Amen. And I know God will be patient with me. And I love God. He's worth everything. And I don't want to give up my eternal walk with Him and my eternal life or anything this world has to offer. Amen. You set your mind upon eternal things. There were people in Noah's day that, after all the warning they had, they did not repent of their sins and perished in the flood. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Notice this, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So they had a mind set on evil. And God had to judge the earth of the flood. And Noah and his family, the only ones saved. His church started out with 8 and it ended with 8. But they were all saved. And people have the kind of mindset that people of Noah's day had many times here in our own world that we live in. In the book of Matthew chapter 24... it says, but as the day of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were just carrying on their normal way of life and did not know it until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And so we know that there's people that will not be ready to meet God when He calls. That doesn't have to be you. And I have a mindset. We need a mindset that's not going to be me. We're going to walk with God. We're going to be ready when He calls. Praise the Lord. You don't have to follow a list of man-made rules, but you've got to know Christ as your Savior. Praise the Lord. And our lives and the church should be built upon Christ, not on things of the earth. Things down here will pass away. They'll be history. Amen. Sinful activity brings no spiritual help. Human government, there may be some good in it. Most of the time it fails in the end. And, you know, the more older I get, I'm more glad for senior benefits. But they're all temporary. Because we're going to a place where people are not going to age. Praise the Lord. But all this world has to offer, it's going to be burned up in the fires of God's judgment one day. And the Bible tells us that, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. I'm already reading quite a bit of Scripture, but you might have not caught up with your Bible reading today, so here it is. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what you're fearful of and what you're living right now and what we're afraid of losing, you're going to lose. Isn't that encouraging? But my friend, what we gain will be so wonderful, we won't even know there ever was a loss, and there won't be a loss. He says, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because on which the heavens will be dissolved, earth being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I want to tell you, God doesn't have any disappointments. There won't be anybody who will say, I wish it hadn't gone to heaven. There won't be anybody there and say, I just thought it would be better than this. Amen. There won't be anybody there saying, what kind of benefits do we have? My friend, when you go with God in the clouds of glory and you're caught up to the great heaven, praise the Lord, there won't be one thing lacking in your life. There will be nothing you'll be saying, it was worth it all. Whatever I had to do to make heaven my home, whatever I had to go through, I thank God for walking me through. I'm thankful that He saved me and gave me the gift of eternal life. And when you enter heaven, it'll be worth it all. Know that you serve Jesus. Praise God. So set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Moving on. Third point, if you're interested in points. Salvation brought death to the old sinful life and pursuits. Verse 3 says, for you died. And I know you're trying to wonder how that's going to get encouraging here in a moment, but it will. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Paul is not talking about physical death here, but he's talking about dying to the temporary pleasures of the old sinful life. He's talking about the pursuit of sinful things, the going after sinful things, to have your mind completely wrapped up in things that are temporary, so temporary you have no vision for the eternal. And so, Paul says, when you come to Christ, you died to the pursuit of things that are temporary. Amen. And Paul would put it this way to the church at Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Was Paul dead? Dead to sin, dead to the world, but alive to God. He said, because Christ lived in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. So salvation brought death to the sinful nature, or death, sinful life and pursuits. Death to sinful passions. Let's notice verses 5 and 6 of our text here. Colossians 3, 5 and 6. Therefore put to death, and he's talking about carnal, sinful behavior. He didn't say to pet it. He didn't say it's okay to do this once in a while. Put to death your members which are on the earth, and he lists the things that need to be put to death. Fornication,
uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, none of those things are going to bring happiness. They all end in death and separation from God. Because he says in verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That's not to make you scared of God, but it's to make you know the truth that God will judge sin because that is his character. He's holy and pure in his character, and he can't stand sin. And the only way he can stand to look at me and you is through the righteousness and the perfection of his son, Jesus. And that's what happens when you're saved. You become clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and God sees you through the perfection of his son. So really the only thing good in us is Christ in us. Amen. Death to sinful passions. None of the things we listed here, fornication, uncleanness, evil passion, evil desire, covetousness, none of these ever met any need in anybody's life. I've never heard anybody, I've met a few people kind of like this, but I've never heard anybody say, you know, it sure is a blessing to be unclean today. Or I sure am enjoying this evil desire that I have. I sure am enjoying worshiping the idol of sin. No. None of these things ever met any need. None brought happiness. None brought hope. None solved any problems. Only harmed your spiritual life. I'm going to tell you from the works of the flesh and sin, it brought no peace, no hope, no love, and no heaven. And so no wonder the writer said, just put to death these evil things that come into your life. Amen. If you fail, the Bible gives, repent of it. Turn back to God and stop what you're doing. Amen. Praise God. Let me give I've got an illustration here. It'll work. Hadn't thought of it till just now. But God will help you stop doing things. And you say, well, I just don't want to stop. Well, just do what you don't want to do. Stop. Amen. And when God tells us to repent of sins, he don't tell us just to slow down and don't sin quite as much. There was a police officer parked at a intersection, and again, a guy comes by and runs the stop sign and goes on. The officer pulls him over, said, I'm going to give you a warning here. He said, you didn't stop. The guy said, well, I slowed down. It's the same thing. Said, no, it's not the same thing. But anyway, gave him a warning. Next day, same place, same policeman, same guy, ran through the stop sign. A little bit slower, but he still didn't stop. Officer got to him and said, you ran the stop sign again. I told you that yesterday not to do it. He said, oh, well, I slowed down more, so that's the same thing. The officer said, it's not the same thing. You must come to a complete stop to where you feel the car draw back when you stop. So next day, same place, same officer, same guy. Went through the stop sign and didn't stop. Officer pulled him over, and this time, this officer don't usually act like this, but he had had enough. And he pulled, and the guy said, well, I slowed down. It's the same thing. He said, no, it's not. So he slammed me up against the car, took his nightstick, and began beating him on the back with it. And he said, now, do you want me to stop or just slow down? Stop, Amen. So God will help you stop sinning, but he never did meant for us to just slow down. He meant for us to abandon a life in the pursuit of evil things, because they never bring happiness in our world and never bring happiness to a person. They fail every time. But God is able to help us to rise above things, and God is also merciful when we fail to restore us and to forgive us. Amen. The church in the Colossian church, they had problems there as well. And I've never seen a church that didn't have some problems. But if you got God, you got the one who's answered all problems. But evidently some false teachers had come in and caused the church even to go to the point of worshiping certain angels. And only God is to be worshipped. God uses angels. There are angels everywhere. Praise the Lord. There's many of them. I don't know how many, but one time Jesus said, if I wanted to, I could call on my Father and he could give me 12 legions of angels that could come and set me free. But he didn't.
But angels do not praise and worship themselves, nor do they want you to worship them. Angels are God's agents to help him for his purposes. In the book of Hebrews, it says something. It spends one chapter saying that God is greater than angels, or Christ is greater than angels. And so angels, they may encourage a believer to worship God, but they never want worship for themselves. Angels don't. Hebrews 1:13, but to which of the angels has God ever said, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Then he says what angels do. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits who are sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? So God uses them, but they're never to be worshipped. Angels do not bring praise. They encourage people to praise God. They direct all praise to God. And God surely uses angels, and he does. And I've never seen one, but I've seen their work many times. The Bible says, Psalms 34:7, but the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and delivers them. No telling how many times God has used these heavenly agents to help us or to protect us from times we didn't even know about. Amen. And so, let's don't be in sinful pursuits, but in spiritual pursuits. Praise God. Last of all, the appearing of Christ in verse 4, in Colossians 3 and 4. Now when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And this is not talking about the second coming of Christ, when Christ literally sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, which he will come back. That's the time that's called the Battle of Armageddon, where he comes back and destroys the nations that have come against him to destroy Jerusalem. And Jesus will come back, amen, powerfully in glory. Best illustrated in the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, if you want to read it when you get home. Amen. And so, but Jesus one day will come again, and this refers to the rapture. When you see the catching away or the appearing, it usually refers to the rapture, not the second coming, which is 7 years before the second coming. And at the rapture, Jesus will call his church to meet him in the air. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep as in death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. For this corruptible body, perishable body, will put on incorruption, will be imperishable. This mortal body will put on immortality. And the saying shall be brought to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It'll be that time, my friend, that God will rapture his church, call them up to be with him. And it will cause, this is at the appearing here, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall you also appear with him in glory. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these things. You and I are the living church, not because of us, but because Christ, the living Christ, is in us. And we are the risen church because we've been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, born again of God's Spirit. Amen. And we're children of God. You and I can be thankful for that. If you're not a child of God, if you're trying to just get by on the least you can, it's a sign you may not even really be saved. But if you're trying to live for God and you're walking with God, you've got a wonderful hope. You don't have to get up to a place of perfection to be saved. If that's true, nobody would be saved. But we go to him who is perfect, Christ. And God wants to put his life in us. Praise the Lord. If you are risen with Christ, born again, amen, then we can be excited about those things which are above. Praise the Lord.